Recently, over the last so many weeks, we started a study, a series called Building Your House. Building Your House. And friend, I'm not talking about building a physical house with walls and ceilings and a garden outside and landscaping all around. We're not talking about a house that somebody lives in, right? We're talking about building our spiritual house, building our spiritual lives. And Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that Jesus Christ is the foundation. And he says in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 21 through 20, that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So for those who have accepted Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, if you said it one time, Jesus, be my Savior. Be the one in full charge of every part of my life. If you did that at one point in the past, Jesus Christ became your spiritual foundation. Amen? How many here are following Jesus Christ today? Good. Okay, so He is your foundation. Now, let's go to this illustration of a house builder, a home builder. You know, if a home builder buys a piece of land, right, and lays a concrete foundation, it will profit him nothing if he doesn't build a physical structure on that house, on that foundation, right? That's it. You know, if he lays a concrete foundation but does not build a physical structure and he tries to sell it, he won't profit. He won't be able to sell that piece of real estate, right? And it's the same way spiritually. Friends, God is wanting us to profit in our spiritual lives. He's wanting us to abound. He's wanting us to go forward in our spiritual lives. In other words, He's wanting us to increase in faith in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, by faith, we will receive it. You know, He wants us to grow spiritually in the sense that we can pray to Him, communicate with Him like we communicate with our best friends. He wants us to grow in the sense that, you know, we can listen, we can hear His voice and obey what He's telling us to do. And last week we talked about our network as a way of building our spiritual house, our network. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, just in brief summary of last week, that the people that you associate yourself with, the people that you fellowship with on a consistent basis, will either weaken or strengthen your spiritual house, your spiritual life. The people that you fellowship with day in and day out will either weaken or strengthen your walk with Christ. You've got to be careful about the people you're spending a lot of time with. Spend time with people that are getting into the Word with you, that are studying the Bible with you, that are praying with you, that are giving you good spiritual advice. If you spend your time in fellowship with those who are stronger spiritually than you and you build your network with good, godly, holy people, guess what? They are going to bring you up a notch spiritually. Amen? And your spiritual house, your spiritual life will be built. Do you agree today? All right, today we're going to talk about your servants. A lot of people, and maybe you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior years ago, but a lot of those people remain spiritually weak and as spiritual babes. You know, a lot of people are Christians. Some people might say, I've been a Christian for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, but they're always on the receiving end. They're always on the taking end. And you know what? They've got the saying, my name is Jimmy, so just gimme, gimme, gimme. And, you know, a toddler, a two-year-old. How many ever had any interactions with a two-year-old, a toddler? Maybe your own child. A toddler, a child, is the center of its own world, right? It's all about his own little world. He's always on the taking end. But as that toddler grows up and he matures into adolescence and adulthood, he becomes responsible, right? He's not always on the taking end as an adult. He's now on the giving end, right? It shows that he's an adult now. It's a mark that he has matured. You know, for instance, he gives back to society. He pays his taxes. And you know, to strengthen your spiritual life, your spiritual house, to go from toddlerhood to adulthood spiritually, you must begin stepping out beyond yourself. Get into the meat of the word. Let me say it again. To go from toddlerhood into adulthood in your spiritual life, to strengthen your spiritual house, to build it, to build your spiritual life, you've got to step out beyond yourself. You've got to go from being on the taking and receiving end all the time into being into the giving side of things. To give out beyond yourself. Amen? So let's talk about your serve here for the next few minutes. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, if you got a Bible, verses 35 through 45. We're going to talk about your serve today, okay? If you don't have one, I'll read it to you. Mark 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you, he asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Verse 37. Verse 38. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Here's the key. Verse 35 of Mark 10. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me repeat that. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's going to be our life's mission, friends, as Christians. That we're in this earth, we're on this earth, not to be served. Listen. We're on this earth not to be served, but to live a life of service toward others. What does John write in his epistle in 1 John 2:6? That if you claim to live in Christ, you must walk as Christ walked. And the walk of Christ was a walk of service, a walk of servanthood. And if you claim to follow Christ, if you claim to live in Christ, you've got to walk like Christ walked. You've got to live a life of service to others. It's about time that we go from childhood, toddlerhood, to adulthood in our spiritual walk with God. And one of the ways to do it is to step out beyond ourselves and touch somebody in greater need than us. Amen? Amen. Making sense today? All right. I've got a little illustration here I received by email some years ago. It's called The Brick. A young and successful executive was traveling down a neighborhood street, going a bit too fast in his new Jaguar. He was watching for kids darting out from between parked cars and slowed down when he thought he saw something. As his car passed, no children appeared. Instead, a brick smashed into the Jag's side door. He slammed on the brakes and backed the Jag back to the spot where the brick had been thrown. The angry driver then jumped out of the car, grabbed the nearest kid and pushed him up against a parked car shouting, "What was that all about and who are you? Just what the heck are you doing? That's a new car and that brick you threw is going to cost you a lot of money. Why did you do it?" The young boy was apologetic. "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry, but I didn't know what else to do," he pleaded. "I threw the brick because no one else would stop." With tears dripping out down his face and off his chin, the youth pointed to a spot just around the parked car. "It's my brother," he said. "He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." Now sobbing, the boy asked the stunned executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt and he's too heavy for me." Moved beyond words, the driver tried to swallow the rapidly swelling lump in his throat. He hurriedly lifted the handicapped boy back into the wheelchair, then took out a linen handkerchief and dabbed at the fresh scrapes and cuts. A quick look told him everything was going to be okay. "Thank you and may God bless you," the grateful child told the stranger. Too shook up for words, the man simply watched the boy push his wheelchair-bound brother down the sidewalk toward their home. It was a long, slow walk back to the Jaguar. The damage was very noticeable, but the driver never bothered to repair the dented side door. He kept the dent there to remind him of this message. Don't go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. God whispers in our souls and speaks to our hearts. And it applies to us today. Let's not go through life so fast that somebody has got to throw a brick at us to get our attention. Friends, there are needs all around you. people in greater need than yourself. And let's take time, some time, to stop and smell the roses, to be sensitive to the voice of God, where God says, go here and go there and stop and help this person, talk to this person, give this person an encouraging word. Let's slow down a little bit in life. Amen? Amen. You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, how can I reach out beyond myself when I'm in such great need here at the mission? How can I reach out when I'm in such great need myself? And that thought might be going through your mind today, that you're in great need and you feel that you can't step out and reach out beyond where you are presently. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is somebody out there in greater need than you. There is somebody, let me say it again, there is somebody out there in greater need than you. How many have a shelter to sleep in tonight? Amen? There is somebody out there sleeping under a bridge tonight, sleeping on a corner of downtown Tulsa. How many have a meal tonight here at the mission? At your dinner table? There are people out there tonight that have not eaten for days and are really, really hungry. Friends, there is somebody out there in bigger need than yourself. Let's turn to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. It's a famous passage. Let's read it. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Verse 36, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. This is Jesus speaking. Then the righteous will answer Him. Verse 37, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. When you touch a hungry person with food, you're touching Jesus Himself. When you give clothing to somebody who needs it, you're touching Jesus Himself. When you visit a stranger, you're visiting Jesus Himself. When you go to prison and visit someone, or someone in the hospital, and you visit that person, you are visiting Jesus Himself. Why is it that you're visiting and touching Jesus Himself when you touch somebody who's in need? Because every single person on the face of this earth is created in the image of God. In a spiritual sense, every person on this earth is flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone. God loves everybody on this earth. When you help somebody in need, when you touch somebody else in greater need than yourself, you are touching the very heart of God Himself. And the opposite is also true. When you hurt someone, guess what? You're hurting the heart of God. You're hurting Jesus Himself. You know, and when you serve that person, you're serving Jesus Himself, and you are maturing to a whole new level spiritually. Amen? Amen. People out there in need are Jesus in disguise. Let me say it again. People out there in need that you meet are Jesus in disguise. Will you stop and serve them, or will you just pass them by? Say it with me today. I'm going to stop and serve that person, because that person is Jesus in disguise. How many have heard of Mother Teresa? A great missionary to the poor, especially Calcutta, India. And she's written journals and diaries over the years. She's been dead for many years now, but she writes some interesting things, and I want to read it to you. It's called Mother Teresa Total Surrender. Listen to this. A sister was telling me that just 2 or 3 weeks ago, she and some other sisters picked up a man from the streets in Bombay, India, and brought him home. We had a big place donated to us, which we have turned into a home for the dying. This man was brought there, and the sisters took care of him. They loved him and treated him with dignity. Right away, they discovered that the whole of his back had no skin, no flesh. It was all eaten up. After they washed him, they put him on his bed. And this sister told me that she had never seen so much joy as she saw on the face of that man. Then I asked her, "What did you feel when you were removing those worms from his body? What did you feel?" And she looked at me and said, "I've never felt the presence of Christ. I've never really believed the word of Jesus saying, 'I was sick and you did it to me.' But his presence was there and I could see it on that man's face. This is the gift of God." Amen? Amen. This man might have been a leper. You know, he might have had some terrible disease. His back was being eaten up. And the sister of charity who touched this man with the love of Christ touched Jesus himself. Thank God your back is not being eaten up. Amen? With a disease. But somebody's back is. Somebody is in great. The point is that somebody out there is in greater need than yourself. Let me turn to this. Page 129. July 18th, 1968. Feeding the hungry Christ, clothing the naked Christ, visiting the sick Christ, giving shelter to the homeless Christ, teaching the ignorant Christ. We all long for heaven where God is, but we have it in our power to be in heaven with Him right now, to be happy with Him at this very moment. But being happy with Him now means loving like He loves, helping like He helps, giving as He gives, serving as He serves, rescuing as He rescues, being with Him 24 hours a day, touching Him in distressing disguise. We need to realize that we have the privilege of touching Jesus 24 hours. When I'm feeding that child, I'm feeding Jesus. Think a little. Elizabeth did not know, but the child John the Baptist jumped in her womb. The same thing should happen when our slum people meet us. We have opportunities, friends, every single day to touch Jesus Himself. He said it, "For as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me." And remember, and it might be going through your mind, but I'm in great need, Jonathan. Well, let me tell you this. There is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. And you might be saying today, "Well, Jonathan, I don't have the strength to step out beyond myself and touch somebody in greater need than me. I just don't have that strength on the inside." We've all been there. How about you? I've been there where it's difficult sometimes, inconvenient at times to step out beyond yourself. But when it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable, when you don't have the strength to step out beyond yourself and touch somebody else, guess what? Pray to God and say, "God, give me your compassion. Jesus, I want to see these people as you saw them when you walked this earth 2,000 years ago." And I guarantee you, to you that if you pray that prayer, God will respond to it. He will give you His divine empowerment to step out beyond yourself. Amen? You agree with that today? How is your serve? How to reach out and serve now? There's several practical ways to do this, to serve and to step out beyond yourself. You know, you can set up chairs in this room for different chapel services, Bible studies. You can take the chairs down when they need to feed people in this room. You can help in the kitchen here. Volunteer somehow. Say, "Hey, I want to be a helping hand. I want to be Jesus to these people." You can find someone on the street corner in Tulsa who is hungry, and you might have some money to your name. You know, they might have gone 4 or 5 days without food. Buy that person a week's worth of groceries. Because when you touch that person, you're touching Jesus Himself. Maybe there's a person out there who's depressed, friend, who's lonely, who hasn't talked to somebody for a long time. They need physical touch. Be affectionate towards that person. You know, hug that person and tell them, "I believe in you. God loves you." That could save that person's life. You never know when suicidal thoughts are going through a person's life, through a person's mind. Amen. You never know when suicidal thoughts are going through a person's mind. And just those few words, "I believe in you and God loves you," can stop that person from committing suicide. It could save their life. touching Jesus in disguise. You know, and somebody out there might have a flat tire. Can't change it. Help that person change their flat tire. That person with a flat tire who is helpless is Jesus in disguise. Amen? Visiting the elderly in nursing homes. Maybe going to a prison and visiting somebody who's been in there for years. When you visit those people, you're visiting Jesus himself. Amen? Amen? And friends, I'm telling you, when you step out beyond yourself and you make a practice of it, not just once in a while, don't do it just once a year at Christmas time or at Thanksgiving time, but step out beyond yourself on a consistent basis. Maybe once a week. Set aside an hour once a week to step out beyond yourself, find somebody in need, and spend some time with that person. Again, not only at Christmas time, not only at Thanksgiving time, but every single week of the year. Make a practice out of it. And I tell you that if you do it, you will grow spiritually. You'll go to a new level in maturity concerning your spiritual life. Amen? It strengthens your spiritual life when you step out beyond yourself. Because why? A child, a toddler, is always taking, right? My name is Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. But when that toddler becomes an adult, what is he doing as a responsible adult? He's giving back to society. Amen? It's the same way spiritually. Let's move away from spiritual toddlerhood. And let's go into spiritual adulthood in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.